Good News in the City is a series of conversations about civic and spiritual issues in Boston with people who are taking action to create a more beloved community. It is produced by Trinity Church in the City of Boston, a congregation of the Episcopal Church and a house of prayer and hope for all people.
This is Rainey Dankel, Associate Rector at Trinity Church in the City of Boston. We're continuing our series of interviews with parishioners who are involved in various aspects of social justice here in the Boston area and beyond. And today we're going to be focusing on climate action. So I'm pleased to be joined by Gabriella Artavia. She is the head of the Trinity Climate Action Network, TCAN. She has some compadres in this work, but she's a spokesperson today. Welcome, Gabriella. It's nice to be with you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah. So last year, you conducted a poll among Trinity parishioners to see what sorts of things people were interested in, because climate action and environmental issues generally are it's kind of a huge basket of things, and there were some interesting results from that. So you offered four categories: the religious, spiritual aspects of the issue, scientific aspects, practical aspects, and political. And it seemed to me that from that poll that there was interest in all of those areas. It was really strongly expressed. Maybe the religious led the pack just a little bit, but that there was interest in trying to follow up on the various aspects of that. Were you surprised by that, Gabriella?
I wasn't. And it was actually really interesting that both of those two things were the ones that kind of rose to the top. Because this is a religious setting, I think that people struggle with understanding how they, as Christians and as people of faith, are called to act when facing a crisis like global warming. Mm-hmm. The goal of TCAN, of the Climate Action Network, is really to increase awareness of the dangers of global warming, and as a way to encourage actions that that can help restore and heal God's creation. Our approach is very much, what is it that we need to know and understand in order to be able to act skillfully in a way that helps us deal with this global crisis? And so understanding that problem in the context of who we are as people of faith is very much where we're coming from.
Right, right. And so we're going to talk today about several upcoming activities that actually build on those different aspects of the issue as you as you've outlined it. And of course, if anything, in the months that have elapsed since that time last spring, I would say the issues are even more in front of us in both positive and negative ways. The ability to continue to respond and to take both preventive and corrective actions seems to be at risk at the time when we most need to be mobilized.
Yes, and this is, you know, we are so fortunate to live in a state that does understand the magnitude of global warming, that has taken really bold steps to try and mitigate carbon emissions. But having said that, you know, there are political realities, and that is where we as a community and as a congregation can start to sort of say, okay, what is it that we need to do in order to hold our leaders accountable? But we also need to look at what pressures those elected leaders are under. So, for example, transportation emissions have now overtaken power sector emissions as the largest source of pollution, okay? During the Obama administration, he was able, with the cooperation of the auto industry, to enact landmark carbon emission pollution reduction standards, okay? Those standards are now under threat, and it's the automakers who have said, we need you to roll back these protections. So we as consumers have a voice in that. You know, we can say to them, automakers, don't do this. Don't put this pressure on our policymakers, because this is not what's good for us. So there's a certain power there that we exercise.
Right. Of course, what the auto industry is saying, and the reason they want these things rolled back, is because they said consumers want trucks and large SUVs. This is what people are buying. For a while, people were all buying hybrids, and you know, and as, but as the price of gasoline comes down, then more people are turning to less fuel efficient vehicles. And
well, I think there, so the technology exists right. to make even those larger vehicles fuel efficient and even zero emissions. It does exist. It's a matter of what are the profit margins associated, right? These mm-hmm. are new technologies. New mm-hmm. technologies are always kind of harder to integrate into your production lines. It's just a matter of them having the political will and them seeing that this is going to be a continuing trend, mm-hmm. right? That mm-hmm. we are not going back to being
10 miles to the gallon. And,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, before we get too depressed, let's hear about some things that are coming up soon where people can begin to, as you said, think about their own role in this as well as the citizenry at large. The first thing that's coming up will help particularly understand more about the science as well as some practical steps. So it hits at two of the four areas that people have expressed interest in. And that's a movie coming up very soon on Wednesday, March 22nd at 6 p.m. So tell us about that, Gabrielle.
Yeah, so this is a movie that came out in late 2015 or early 2016, narrated by Leonardo DiCaprio. And what I really appreciated about the movie was that it lays out both the problem, the magnitude of the problem, and it really shows how climate change and climate impacts are not just being felt, you know, halfway across the globe. They are being felt now by Americans and American communities. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really good overview of the problem.
So the movie's called Before the Flood?
Before the Flood.
So that's coming up at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, March 22nd. There'll be a light supper served mm-hmm. and an opportunity to view the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following Sunday mm-hmm. at 1 o'clock,
yes.
There'll be an opportunity for discussion.
Yes.
So we hope people will come to both.
Right.
And you're going to have a guest speaker then on
yes.
Sunday?
Yes. The guest speaker is somebody that I work with at the Union of Concerned Scientists. He is one of our senior energy analysts, and he has been involved, actually, in promoting clean energy policies in the state of Massachusetts. So he can talk a little bit about the landscape, both in terms of what the outlook is for us as in the region, in terms of being able to integrate higher degrees of renewables into our power system. And he is also actually one of the co-authors of a publication called Cooler Smarter, which is a guide for people who want to reduce their carbon print.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll focus a little bit about, you know, what are the things you should think about as you're going about your daily life and thinking about your consumption patterns. Where can you get the most bang for your buck in mm-hmm. terms of decarbonizing your own lifestyle?
That's great. Great. So we have a movie and a speaker coming up later in March. The Wednesday 22nd will be the movie, and Sunday, March 26th at 1 o'clock will be the speaker and discussion opportunities. Now, we mentioned at the outset that poll within the church showed that people were particularly interested in sort of the moral and religious aspects of that, and we had a meeting last spring, and I gave background in terms of scriptures and so forth that makes it clear that God created the earth, God owns the earth, we are stewards, and we are responsible to take care of it as opposed to exploit it and destroy it. But we've got a really dynamic person coming on April 1st who can help us live more deeply into that. Tell us about that workshop.
Yes. So I'm very excited about it too. So the Reverend Margaret Bullitt Jonas is going to be joining us the morning of Saturday, April 1st. The title of her workshop is Spiritual Resilience in the Face of Climate Change. How do we remain strong, and how does our own faith and spirituality inform how we act and how we respond to the challenges before us, especially in this political climate? As people of faith, it's very tempting to just, you know, be very angry and self-righteous. And those are not, it's okay for me to feel them, but it's not okay for me to act from them, because mm-hmm. that's not going to lead to sort of the skillful change and the skillful resistance that we need in order to really overcome these problems. So I'm very, very excited to hear what she's got to say.
She's been in this work for a long time. She writes a blog, and she's written books on the subject. And mm-hmm. she's actually missioner for creation care for the Diocese of Western Massachusetts, mm-hmm. our sister diocese. And she's also has a similar position for the Association of United Church of Christ for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So she's deeply involved in helping religious communities understand the challenges and, as you said, begin to develop spiritual practices and awarenesses and skills to sustain us then in this work. So to the tools of scientific analysis and political action, we are adding the resources of our faith so that we approach this as integrated people, so to speak, and people who can be sustained in this work because we understand that it's God's work and that to the extent that we are in sync with that, we find resilience and power and sustainability and within ourselves and within communities to engage in this work. Yep. So I guess there's one other upcoming event that that perhaps leans more towards the political side,
yes.
and I'll let you explain that. But the People's Climate March,
yes.
April 29th,
mm-hmm.
is occurring in Washington, D.C. as a national movement, but I understand there will be some local connections to that.
Correct, yes. There are sister marches in New York, and there's a sister event going on in Boston. And here's where we're actually hoping to link up with other faith-based organizations in order to kind of have, just show up as a faith-based contingent mm-hmm. in that event. It is the People's Climate March. This is actually a follow-on march to the march that happened in New York in 2014, and it is organized and led by the environmental justice groups because one of the deep injustices related to climate change, of course, is that the burdens, the risks, the dangers are being disproportionately borne by our most vulnerable citizens. And so this is this is going to be an activity that really has those voices up front describing exactly how it is that they are being impacted and what it is that they want to make sure rises to the top in this fight, because even within the environmental movement, there is criticism that we don't integrate and elevate the concerns of marginalized communities mm-hmm. enough. So this is actually a show of solidarity with those in communities.
Well, it sounds like there are several ways that people can learn more mm-hmm. and become more involved. And certainly we hope people will come to some of these events and link up then with other Trinity parishioners who are concerned about it. And perhaps there'll be plans for future activities based on what people are interested and willing to do.
Yes, this is a group that's just getting started. We need all of the help we can because, you know, we want to keep on learning more about the problem and figuring out what our role is in the community and how we remain people of faith and how we push back in a way that is spiritually sound and sustainable.
I've been speaking with Gabriela Artavia, who is one of the co-chairs of the Trinity Climate Action Network, TCAN, and learning a little bit about people who are coming together at Trinity to work on this issue and some upcoming events that will enable you, our listeners, to learn more about both the science and the practical aspects of this issue, as well as participating in a workshop that helps us think about the spiritual aspects of this problem. Gabriela, I know this is something that's personally important to you, and so is there anything else you'd like to share with us about why you're in this work?
I'm in this work because I'm originally from Costa Rica, and I grew up with a deep, deep appreciation, and a deep love, and a deep comfort in nature. And so really this is in a way just another manifestation of my love for the creation and my love of God. And I think, you know, having also worked abroad and understood how vulnerable people always seem to bear the brunt of these issues, also is something that resonates with me. I think that this is, to me, this is the spiritual and moral crisis of our time. Mm-hmm. Both what we are doing to our to the creation and how we are causing the suffering of our fellow brothers and sisters through these actions and through our inactions.
Thank you for the work that you and TCAN are doing, and we look forward to some of these upcoming activities and even more action at Trinity Church.
Thank you.
You've heard about good news in the city. If you want more information, visit us online at trinitychurchboston.org. If you're interested in getting involved, send us an email at goodnews@trinitychurchboston.org.